You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He keeps the Long Word Journal. He is my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcoming David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who's our watchman on the watchtower over Hezbollah. However, the brain of the octopus is in Tehran. Benny Gantz, a significant voice in Israeli politics, writes in the Wall Street Journal in these last days, "The lesson of October 7th, 2023 is that Israel must be uncompromising and proactive when it comes to protecting itself." Final sentence, "A sustainable agreement must not only address the threat from Hezbollah and promise effective and reliable international involvement, but it must be clear about the source of regional instability, the Iranian regime." David, there's a headline from Reuters this morning saying the U.S. and the UAE are offering a deal to Assad. Break with Iran and we'll lift sanctions. This is an inducement for Assad to switch sides, to turn coat, to leave his Moscow sponsors and come to his American sponsors. Is that a credible offer from your understanding?
The offer may be credible. The underlying logic is much faultier. We've played this game with Assad, his father, ever since the demise of the Soviet Union, when he came to the West trying to find a new patron, and he played us. He consistently played us. And Assad, the son, is no different. Well, he is different in that, you know, this is based on the faulty logic that there still is a Bashar al-Assad to talk to. He exists, obviously, but he rules at the pleasure of Iran rather than Iran being in Syria, remaining in Syria at his permission. If he steps out of line, the Iranians will kill him. And this assumption, I don't know what this faulty assumption is, but he's going to break with Russia and Iran at the same time and come into our orbit. Are we planning on putting boots on the ground to save Assad? I hope not. But if it's a dependence upon Russia to confront the Iranians and help Assad regain some kind of domestic independence, that's also a faulty bet, because what the Russians are going to fight Sunni jihadists and the Shia jihadists at the same time when the Shia jihadists are trying to help Russia secure Assad? Or are they going to turn on their ally Iran, the Russians, which is now helping them fight the much more important war in Ukraine, and which will require the deployment of Russian forces away from Ukraine and into Syria? When, again, this is not a vital theater just yet. So the assumption that this is pseudo realpolitik, based on the idea that Assad, because he's a pragmatist, his goal is just survival, but it's an assumption that you can turn him just based on that one consideration alone, while ignoring all the other considerations that keep him firmly in the Iranian camp. Again, not out of ideological alignment necessarily, but because he wants to keep his head on his shoulders.
Bill, you have a question.
Yeah, David, it does seem insane that lifting sanctions is what Assad is concerned about. Yeah. When, you know, he's actually in a war for his life. I mean, sure. Who's going to back him? You know, I was thinking of, there's been a lot has happened in the last year, and I want to take stock of where Iran has had successes and where it's its failures, and where do you think it comes out? We're 14 months into this war. You know, you've probably, you know, you look at what's happened in Gaza with Lebanon, with the Houthis. Do you think the Iranians are at a loss here? Maybe it's a push, or has it been a net positive, their war against Israel in the West?
I think it depends on how you look at it. I think kinetically, they've definitely taken a beating. Assuming, you know, with Lebanon, I think in the long term, they've won. There were reports in the Washington Post that they're seeing the ceasefire as an opportunity to begin regenerating Hezbollah. Well, no duh. Who could have told them that? When it comes to Gaza, they may still lose, depending on if the Israelis finish the job or not. So, that could be a long-term loss if they lose Gaza. However, if the Israelis don't finish off Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad and the others in Gaza, and they haven't put in place, obviously they weren't going to finish off Hezbollah in Lebanon, but there is no mechanism now that's put in place to continue the degradation of Hezbollah. The Israelis, their legitimacy has been battered over the past year. I mean, one thing we've seen is the weaponization of the laws of war and international law against the West. This has been a long process, and it went into overdrive against Israel in this past war. So now Israel's mere exercise of its right of self-defense is associated with genocide. It's associated with war crimes. Israel's existence, the conversation on Israel's existence, is Israel has less legitimacy in the West even. So if you decouple Israel from the West, if you delegitimize Israel's existence in the West, if you delegitimize Israel's ability or its the justification or the justness of its war against Iran and its proxies in the West, what you've done is cut off Israel from its lifeline. You've isolated it. And in, down the line, if you fight a future war against Israel, you're fighting it against a much more isolated, perhaps militarily degraded Israel than you would if Israel remained with this lifeline to the West. So in the long run, let's see how this plays out. That could be the win that the Iranians get from this.
The Benny Gantz article also contains this thought. Mm-hmm. Underpinning the current temporary ceasefire arrangement with Hezbollah is the strong likelihood that Israel will be forced to return to another painful and costly round of fighting in Lebanon. Is that a generally held opinion in Jerusalem on Israeli media that this is a cigarette break and we'll be back at it in X number of weeks?
I mean, it depends on how long the cigarette break is. For me, Amos Hochstein has said this is a permanent deal. And I don't think Hezbollah is going to break the deal in such a way that would justify major Israeli action against them. They're not, again, they're an evil organization. They're not stupid. I think right now they're not going to provoke Israel in a manner that would justify it resuming operations at the intensity they were last week. But it does make a future Hezbollah-Israel war inevitable, because it does create the pathways, or it leaves in place the pathways for Hezbollah's regeneration. This is the problem. So the cigarette break may take 10 years, but we can be rest assured that because this deal depends on the Lebanese armed forces and the Lebanese government to act, the same failures that led to 1701 not working, we will end up here again. And a lot of Israelis are saying this. A lot of Israelis are saying, so right now the Israeli government hasn't greenlit its citizens returning to the north. But a lot of them are saying, we don't want to go back. We warned the security establishment for years when we could see the whites of the eyes of the Hezbollah fighters across the border.
30 seconds, David, 30 seconds.
When we could hear them digging, when we could hear all this activity and no one listened to us. And now you want us to go back to a situation where these people are going to show up on the border again. This is not a situation where we can live with, because we know Hezbollah is going to regenerate and come after us again. So even, there is recognition in Israel that this war, whenever it happens, will happen again. And there is another Israel-Hezbollah round is inevitable.
David Dayoud, Bill Rajow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.